Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the show. And yes, our guests have shown up. We have Laura Bishop in the studio. Laura is the founder of What Is Erotic, and also she's on the board of trustees for the 418 project in downtown Santa Cruz.
One of the lovely creative communities that call Santa Cruz home. And Laura has been quite busy there for many years holding it together.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome to the
nice
show.
Nice to see you guys again.
Me too. Yeah.
Our annual dip into What Is Erotic.
That's right. The future of sex and the present of sex.
The future erotic. Of sex in Santa Cruz, especially, right?
The future of sex in Santa Cruz. You know, I started coming to Santa Cruz in 1990.
Oh.
And I moved here in 2004. And it wasn't until I lived here that I realized what a leading edge community we are.
Mm.
And
so
when
you decided
you're leading, right? There's no one on your left and there's no one on your right. Uh-huh. And so it takes a while to realize that it's the forward edge that we occupy.
So how did you decide to explore the erotic edge for the community?
Well, you may know that What Is Erotic was invented by a volunteer at the 418 Project. The 418 Project is a nonprofit movement arts center in downtown. We've been around for 25 years, since 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2005, a volunteer came to me and said, I would like to do a fundraiser and I would like to donate all the profits to the 418 because I love this place. And I said, sounds great. What do you want to call it? And he said, I want to call it What Is Erotic. So that's how we started, and that was
so it came from the name originally, and then the concept, the idea followed that.
Yeah, there was a place called What Is Art right around the time of the earthquake, and I think it is no longer with us, but it was a gallery. So What Is Art inspired What Is Erotica, and What Is Erotica, which is an art installation, inspired What Is Erotic. And what we've learned over the years of doing the show is that we have a lot of fun asking the question, but we have never yet been able to quite answer it.
Because it's always changing. Huh?
It is always changing. I think the dialogue around sex has been changing fast.
Yeah.
Let's do a little time travel, because I remember my very first dip into seeing the show many years ago, and it was very innocent in some ways. There was a very sensual eating of an avocado, as I recall.
Yeah.
Slowly, I believe.
Depending on how you feel about avocados, that was either innocent or not, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we first started doing the show, we did paper posters and we sold tickets at the door, and there was no social media. Not really. Not for most of us. There was
word
not
of
much.
Mouth.
That was about it. Yeah.
That's right. It wasn't much email until the turn of the century.
We've kind of run the gamut in that we've gone, the first 10 years we did a variety show, all community sourced. The show's always been community sourced, which I think is really important in terms of staying on top of what is alive for people.
For the community itself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Last few years, you guys were flirting with doing a little bit more of a traveling show and doing it in the Montgomery Theater in San Jose.
Yes.
Different venue, different feel for the show.
Yes.
What did you learn
from
that?
Yeah, we did. We have done full-length shows the last 3 years, and we have had Bay Area performances. People kept saying we really, really miss the variety show format, and so we just said, okay, well, because we do this for you guys. We do this, the show, it's become the largest nonprofit fundraiser for the 418 Project, so it really helps the nonprofit thrive. But also, it's for community. We like to think we do an intensely professional show. But people, again, this year, like every year, there are people in this show who have been professional choreographers and dancers for their entire career, and there are people who've never, ever set foot on stage before.
So everyone learns from everyone.
We're going back. So we're back to the future. You can't really go back, right? But what we decided, yes, we're going to go return to the original variety show format, and people seem extremely excited about that. So we have a lot of people excited about the show this year.
Yeah, as opposed to having a whole thematic piece that lasts the whole 2 hours of the show.
Yeah, exactly. This year's theme is we. We always have a theme, and then we source that from the present moment. So we source it from what our artists are feeling and thinking about and their artistic impulses and also what's happening in life around us. So it's no surprise there's a big tsunami of social change that I think we're all in the middle of, and we really thought we had to honor that.
How are you looking at this whole Me Too thing in that context? Are there any skits that are bringing that up? And
There are, actually. One thing that we're doing that's different this year is we are going back to the original format, the variety show, but this year we're adding a different special guest artist for each evening of the performance. So we're having 5 shows, and we'll have a special guest artist opening the show, each one unique for each evening. So there are some pieces that actually talk about what I would say. So for me, if we're going to go time travel, around sex and the erotic, the old way is male, female, power over, power under, we're going to get hitched. If I have another preference, I'm not really safe to talk about it.
Yeah.
One partner holds this part of the polarity, the other partner holds the other part of the polarity. And so the light and the shadow and the polarities don't necessarily get a chance to blend, or there's not as much wholeness. So what we've really noticed in the 13 years we've been doing the show is that people are way, like the dialogue around sex is way different. People are much, much safer to talk about what excites them, what scares them, what intrigues them, what gets them hot. And what I would say that my response to the Me Too movement is that this is what healing looks like. Mm. It's messy. And also that what we're saying is that all of us need to be accepted and seen and reflected to thrive, not just one privileged class.
Mm.
And that can be rough and messy, but I think it is what's happening.
No, if you actually seen an increase in literacy for dealing with these emotionally charged issues? Like, for example, you handle a lot of people. And
I do.
As anyone who's been on a movie set or other types of scenarios know, there's always emotional issues that come up with the cast.
Mm-hmm. So at the 418 Project, our mission is to create safety for personal and artistic expression. That's the core of our mission. And I think that What Is Erotic is the keystone to that. So using sex, which is one of the hotter, more vulnerable topics for all of us as humans, to stand for it. So this is a culture, our mainstream culture is a culture that's very objectifying when it comes to sex. And I think that What Is Erotic speaks from the heart. So there's a way in which we stand for safety for everybody, whether you're a volunteer, whether you're a performer, whether you're an audience member. We want to invite heartfelt, maybe life-changing dialogue, but we never want to re-traumatize or take somebody to a place that is wounding. And actually what I have seen this year is that I have seen some performers feel safe to come forward and to deal with some really edgy personal topics as well as some performance content. Hmm. Yeah, so I'm excited. I don't want to give you a spoiler, but I am excited to say that that's true.
Excellent.
This year, yeah.
Good. All right, well, we're talking to Laura Bishop and the What Is Erotic, what do you call it, cabaret?
I would call it a cabaret, yeah.
Yeah, it's a variety show.
Performance cafe.
And we'll be right back after the break. It's the Dr. Petri Show. Welcome back to the Dr. Feature Show. We're just talking to Laura Bishop about What Is Erotic, and Jamie just walked in. And Laura, do you want to introduce Jamie to us?
Yeah, I'm really, really excited to have Jamie Joy on the What Is Erotic creative team with us. Jamie, I've seen you around Santa Cruz for a long, long time. I forget how we actually originally met, but
I can't remember either.
I can't believe you both have Philadelphia roots, too.
We do.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, we do.
Were you rooting for the Eagles on Sunday?
We were in dress rehearsal, actually, but I was rooting for the Eagles between acts. Jamie was producing a really fun and rowdy queer-positive cabaret called Cabagay last year, and I was excited and blown away by that. So I asked Jamie to come on the creative team. Jamie's our first diversity specialist, and I'm sure they can tell you why.
Yeah, tell us about that. What's a diversity specialist do, and what is erotic?
Yeah, it's a role that I've never been given before. I've done a lot of productions in my last few years living in Santa Cruz since I transplanted from Philly.
Yeah.
So to me, whenever I've done theater, it's always been queer. And I find that that's really important to have that element in theater, because when you're on stage, you can transcend so many labels in society. So to be a part of What Is Erotic and to make sure that that voice and that representation was in the show in some way was really important. And so I was super honored when Laura did reach out and wanted that representation. And I said, yes, of course. Any opportunity for me to be a part of a production that is so provocative in the community and helps people answer that question, what is erotic, within themselves.
So have you brought in more of the queer community into What Is Erotic this year as part of your work with this?
So the piece that I'm performing in the show is definitely all queer performers. And what we're bringing into it with our performance, which is happening opening night this Friday, is that we're questioning the boundary between binaries. That can be a tongue twister.
Binary like normal hetero?
So the binary is a lot of things. It's when we only see things in twos. And especially with the question of eroticism, there's a lot of binary thinking of, well, this is pleasure and this is pain. And this is what feels good and this is what doesn't feel good. Or this is normal eroticism in society and then this is the outcast, the taboos. And
I see. It's kind of like dualism in a way.
Yeah, it's dualism.
Yeah.
So part of what our piece is doing is it's kind of integrating the dualities by showing that, hey, maybe pain and pleasure aren't necessarily opposing. Maybe they're actually part of the whole.
Well, they are the same nervous system.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. One thing I like to think about is that sometimes we feel so much pleasure that it hurts, or sometimes pain can feel good. So those are questions that kind of come up when you see our piece. So yes, there's members of the queer community in the show, but it's also transcending a lot of dualities, which is also queer. Does that make sense?
Well, a little bit. I mean, I'll be able to understand it more when I see your performance.
You're coming.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Yeah. I'd love to see what you've come up with.
Yeah.
So, Jamie, we were talking before you arrived about what's exciting about the show this year. And I was saying that it's really something that we're aware of in this big, big engulfing wave of social change, that we all need to be heard and we all need to be seen and we all need to feel safe.
Yeah, like what's your take
for it to be hot?
Yeah, from the queer community on this whole Me Too movement that's happening.
Yeah, it's interesting because when we're talking about the Me Too movement, I think people tend to get caught in the narrative of all men are perpetrators and all women are survivors or victims. And in reality, what I like to approach with the subject is that we're all kind of victims to this movement in a way, and we're all perpetrating it in some ways. So it's not so gendered. It's actually, yes, women are affected heavily by it, but aren't all of us affected by these stereotypes that encourage sexual violence in our society? The theme of What Is Erotic this year is we. And so it's really showing the togetherness,
the connectedness.
Yeah. And that's what I think a lot of social change movements need to recognize, is we can't just have one part of the community in the conversation. It has to be everyone. That's hopefully what we'll get from the show this weekend.
And
if I may, I think that what we realized at What Is Erotic after doing the show for over a dozen years is that we really needed to step it up. So we really needed to create a much safer container. You know, what we had seen over many years is that people would come out for the show and they would risk, I've never been on stage, I've got to be in the show, I'm scared to death, I'm super excited. And we really weren't seeing any queer people. And we realized there needs to be an extra safe container, there needs to be an extra, and that's why we invited Jamie. We really needed somebody who could say, hey, that's a little bit of a stereotype, let's break through that. So what we're also realizing is that each one of us brings something unique, so that there's a me inside the we. So what we're realizing is that when everybody's voice is supported, then the we sparkles and it becomes dimensional and hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like taking the Me Too movement to like a We Too in a way, you know?
Okay, yeah.
The We Too movement.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I'm just happy these conversations are happening and excited that for 5 show nights that people will be taken on a journey to question a lot of their own experiences with eroticism and their body and their connection to others. And
what's been the hardest part for you to prepare for this?
For the show?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I have to say that the hardest part is breaking through stereotypes. I think going on stage is scary for a lot of performers, and to push them to not fall into their comfort patterns is hard. As someone who is directing multiple pieces and helping them push those boundaries was a challenge, and luckily we had months to build a relationship with each other where my direction was taken really well and I appreciated that. And sometimes I would give advice to other pieces about, oh, maybe you want to try mixing this up in this way so that the audience can feel more included. That's what we want, is for the audience members to look at the pieces and see something in themselves, you know, be able to connect with it.
Do you think that anyone would come out of the closet on stage? Do you think that ever would ever happen?
Wow. That would be so exciting.
I think parts of us come out of the closet on stage.
Yes.
Yeah, parts of you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of our creative team members is doing a drag piece, and I don't know that that's ever been a thing that they've done. This is a person who's been in theater for a long time and has actually been in the show for the last couple of years, and I'm not going to tell you who it is. So okay. You can see this person in their opposite gender. Yeah. But that was an edge for them. Yeah. They had never done that. So I suspect that parts of us are coming out of the closet around this show. Mm. And actually for audience, so I have somebody who's been watching the show for 13 years and she's finally in the show.
Really?
And wow. Yeah, it's a piece that Jamie is directing, actually.
Wow.
And
wow,
so it can take as long as it takes, yeah? One thing I can say that I feel excited about is, so parts of the audience also come out of the closet.
Yeah, you create the context for that.
We're building the show in a way. So when we first did the show, we had almost all like gushy cushion seating. People would come and they would snuggle with their friends and they would be right up front. And we've had grown-up theater seating and that's been fun. But this year, we have both. So if you want a reserved theater seat and you want to have that experience, you can. But we also have the cabaret cushions back. And what we've done is we've really built the show so the performers are really with you as the audience. They're really, they come right down the multiple aisles and mingle with the audience as they're coming on and off stage. So it's really, it's much more intimate this year.
And break down that fourth wall.
Or? Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yeah. Mm. So it's an environment that we hope will allow people to feel less separated from the people on stage and from us.
And come out a little bit.
And come out a little bit, yeah. And we're going to have the salon again, so we're going to be interacting with people and playing games with them and things before the show so they can really feel like they're part of the fun.
Hmm. What would you say the balance of male, female, gay performers are?
That's a good question. So there's definitely more women in the show this year, which is a great thing because women owning their sexuality, can't get enough of that. And in terms of the sexuality breakdown, some people have been surprising me. For a while, I didn't even know that someone on the cast was gay until he just nonchalantly said it. So I think we're kind of getting to a kind of a point in society where it's a bit more casual to have your sexual identity exist in the mainstream world. And that's a good thing.
Yes. Yeah, it's certainly, it shows you how the signs of our times, really.
Yeah.
We're getting to be more open in our expressions of who we truly are. Interesting. Okay, well, we'll be back with Jamie and Laura on What is Erotic after the news break. Thanks for listening to the Dr. Petrie Show. We'll be back. Yes, let's run down that dream. Let's look at what is erotic and some of the content here. We're talking to two of the main creators of What is Erotic this year. Of course, it's a whole team, Laura, right?
That's true.
Laura and Jamie, how big is your crew this year?
We have six on our crew, and I am excited to say that half of our team is under 30. Which
that's
I think
so
is so
true.
Exciting. Yeah, it's so exciting.
We have a diverse group.
Yeah, but nice. I've been learning a lot from you guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you see a millennial difference in mentality from millennial to the baby boomer originators?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I think having half, a little more than half actually, of the team being in their mid-20s to like late 20s, early 30s, I think we're bringing a different perspective to the show, thinking about, even in our conversations about the flow and the theme and accepting pieces versus giving them direction to alter them, there was kind of like a new voice emerging of course, there's what has always happened in the show, and then what about taking it onto a new step forward?
Mm-hmm. Are there new frontiers in eroticism that are being explored with the new generations, do you think?
Yeah, I think something that's coming up in the show this year is a lot more comedy. There's like...
erotic comedy?
Yeah, it's not... It doesn't have to be so serious and so sensual. Like, there's more play. That is something that is important to incorporate into eroticism is that spectrum. So we're not just looking at the intensity of eroticism, we're looking at all of the emotions that come with it. And sometimes it's not all happy, sometimes it is painful, or we've had performers on stage who have started crying during their piece.
We have?
Yeah, you remember that? Oh, you know what? You were in South Africa.
Oh, wow. Okay, missed it. Dang.
Well, what happened? One
of the performers is singing a song that was written by Rihanna. Again, that's more millennial style music. And it just struck a chord that one day with all of us. And there was multiple people in the room, cast members who were crying, and she kept going through the piece, which was amazing. It shows that there's more to eroticism than the intense, the serious, the sensual. There's a range of emotions that we're trying to explore in the show.
Mm. Yeah, it can bring up almost anything.
I think one thing I can definitely say about the show is that we don't believe that sex is shallow. I do think also that this is a culture where a lot of the images in mainstream media are about what the glossy surface looks like. And I think that actually we have a lot of very, very good looking and beautiful pieces. So don't worry. If you're thinking about coming to the show, I encourage you. There's so, so much beauty. You will definitely not be disappointed. But you also not lack for depth in this show. So
yeah, you usually sold out too, right?
We often sell out. We still have tickets available for opening night, and we still have tickets available for this weekend, Saturday. We are performing also. We're doing a Valentine's night show, which is very rare for us. It's next Wednesday. And then we also have shows next Friday and Saturday on the 16th and 17th. So just 5 shows. But yeah, we do sell out. So we encourage people to get tickets early.
What about filming it this year? Are you going to be covering that?
We are. So what's also true is that we mostly film for our performers because they're so generous. It's a 5-month mentorship to be in the show. People are giving their time. So we like to give them a lot of support, and we like to provide archival footage so that they can use it for performance resume or whatever they would want in the future. But yeah, we're going to have a 3-camera shoot this year. So we're excited about that.
I think that's important to note is that our performers are there not to get paid. The benefit that they're reaping from being in the show is multifaceted. They are getting to showcase their art to the community. And they're also giving a gift to the 418 Project by donating their time and their talent. And then a lot of them get to walk away feeling really empowered. I know that's how I will feel after I do this performance, that I got to put my message out there to an audience that I might not normally reach. Thinking about what you were saying about the age dynamics, it's an opportunity for younger folks to engage with older folks and vice versa. I think the space will be very intergenerational in that sense.
So you'll meet the whole gamut of Santa Cruz culture here, from
hopefully
millennials to
definitely.
I know we're doing outreach to bring younger audience members in, so they
what
can
about
also,
your gay cabaret crew, are they coming?
Oh, I have invited them, and I hope they make it. Of course, it's hard to get queer folks to show up on time to things. But I've invited them, and I know my good friend is also going to be recording my piece on Friday, because again, as a performance artist, it helps to have that material to share in the future. If I ever wanted to perform the piece again on another platform, I could share it with people. So,
gotcha. By the way, I want to ask you what the latest sensibilities are about using words like gay or queer or LGBTQ and stuff like that. Where do you hang with that?
Where do I hang with it? I like to use all of the above. So queer is my go-to word because it's just a word that is inclusive of almost everyone without excluding anyone. And the reason why I feel like it has that quality is because it doesn't necessarily define in a very particular way. Like the word gay or lesbian is a very particular definition of a person, whereas queer could mean a lot of different things.
It could mean any of them, right?
It could mean any of them. Yeah. And I think that's the power of the word, is that we're reclaiming it to be like a fuel for change. It's a word that we can use to unite all of these different identities, all these letters in the acronym that can feel like the acronym could just go on forever. You could just LGBTQIAP, you know, it can go on and on, and it becomes a mouthful. So I think moving forward, I really advocate for using a word that will encapsulate the diversity of the community without limiting any of us. That's my hope. But some people I think older generations, that word can carry a lot of negative weight. So I'm careful about who I use it around. And yeah. I make sure to check in before labeling other people with it. Yeah.
Right. It's so everyone has their preferences along those lines, I gather. Huh?
Yeah. Something we also learned from What Is Erotic, that people have very different preferences.
So in terms of the social scene with What Is Erotic, because I know you have your parties and stuff like that, have you been mixing it up with the queer and straight audiences? And the performers begin talking about these types of things together?
I think about our audience as being straight or queer. I think about our audience as being interested in what you're doing,
right? Just eroticism as the unifying force.
Yeah,
the whole thing.
I don't think it's a queer show or straight show. I think it's a human show. Yeah, I want to also speak to something that feels true about we, as I think that I'm excited that I have a story that there's a changing dynamic. Like, if I stretch my mind and I include people of different genders, colors, preferences, heights, that my world becomes richer, not flat. And even though it is, if you're more conventional or traditional or whatever, binary, that might be a little startling. And then, you have to just kind of check it out and say, was that fun? Was that cool? Did I enjoy? Was that exciting? Like, really in my heart, was that exciting to see different viewpoints and to maybe fantasize a little bit about stuff, which you definitely get a chance to do at
the show. Gives you more permission to explore your
It's a really safe space. Yeah, we always have people who come and they want to go right down front and they want to sit by the stage and they have a whole bunch of friends and they're super comfortable. And we always have people who come and they're really nervous. It's their first time and they climb in the back row and they're just about able to breathe. I think it's a really safe place to see some things that you might find to be either very normal for you if you have a more alternative lifestyle, or you might find to be really, really uncommon and unusual and could be really exciting.
And even the pieces that have a man and a woman together are pushing conventional stereotypes around sexuality of women versus sexuality of men. I'm just thinking about the one piece with the Cheetos. So I'm not going to give too much away, but it's a comedic performance between a couple, but it shows the dominance and submission in eroticism kind of flipped, where we don't always see it as the man being assertive and the woman being submissive, but maybe the other way around. And it's, for me, showing representations like that where people in the audience who do identify as straight can still connect to that feeling of, yes, I'm sometimes more assertive, I'm sometimes more submissive, and that's okay.
Yeah, it depends on your mood sometimes.
Exactly. Something else I think comes out in the show is that as an audience member, that burlesque dancer who is on stage, it doesn't matter what your gender is, she's gonna wink at you and dance for you and make you feel like you're the only one in the room, regardless how you identify. So the audience is invited to identify however they want for that night and just have fun and have fun with the performers.
Very good. Well, we're talking to Laura Bishop and what was your last name?
Jamie Joy.
Jamie Joy, okay.
Yes.
And Jamie Joy on What Is Erotic this year at the 418. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 831-479-1080. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to the Dr. Feature Show. We're talking to Jamie Joy and Laura Bishop on the upcoming cabaret, What Is Erotic, here in Santa Cruz at the 418. Now, Mrs. Future, just to ask a question during the break, which I think would be great to start off the final segment of the show.
Right. As a long-term fan of the What Is Erotic theater group process, and the incredible self-growth that is available both for the artists and for the audience, I would love to hear you guys' perspective on the current generation and what is the erotic frontier. I feel like we've gone through huge changes since the introduction of birth control, since gays came out of the closet and reclaimed their power to have what they want and not have to hide it. Where are we now, a generation later, since that edge of giving yourself permission has been claimed? What's next?
I'll start. Laura's giving me the nod.
I was giving you the thumbs up. Yes. There you go.
So the next erotic frontier to me is moving away from what I mentioned earlier is the idea of there being a binary, that we are left in life to have to make certain choices between one or the other, either or. Partly I see this in multiple ways. I see people who are choosing to not identify as a man or a woman. I see people who are choosing to have more than one lover at a time. I see people who are choosing to switch up their sexual preferences year by year, day by day. I think people are being more fluid. That's my next frontier, is the fluidity of eroticism, embracing it, celebrating it.
Let's get some questions coming in. One person wants to know if there are any new sex toys you guys are playing with.
I will actually shout for Camouflage. Camouflage has generously donated a couple of toys for one of our pieces. And I haven't seen the two toys yet, but I'm told that they're very large and very bright orange.
Bright orange.
So you're going to have to attend the show to find out what we're going to do with them. But yes, there are some toys in the mix.
There are some toys
and
in the show.
And actually, there's another fantastic piece, actually, that Jamie, you directed.
Yeah, I directed a piece that has a surprise. I really don't want to give much away.
Oh, it's okay to share a few details.
So there is a piece that ends with a strap-on getting thrown into the air into a crowd of hungry women.
Oh, that piece. I was thinking of the other piece you directed. There's also a piece that has cymbals, gongs, toys.
Being used erotically.
On stage, lots of different
toys. We're just putting out a lot of teasers right now.
It's okay. Yeah, to leave you hanging.
Oh, good. So they're definitely part of the show.
Plenty of toys this year.
Okay, let's see. We have another question. Let's see. This is from Georgia, one of our more conservative talk show hosts. She says, though I do believe everyone has the right to make choices in their personal lives to promote their lifestyle without talking about the health aspects is not very responsible. Have you heard of Giardia or Entamoeba histolytic? Does this fall under public health issue? I will discuss it tomorrow, but I want to make sure that the health risks are brought up when you talk about sexuality.
Thank you, Georgia, for that question. I think it's a great one. And actually, there is a piece in the show, believe it or not, that actually the pivot moment of the show is when the person performing realizes exactly that STDs are a risk. And it's actually not a downer. So, yep, even that is addressed in the show.
Very good.
I'd like to add on to that, because I actually offer testing in the community. I do HIV and hepatitis testing. And to me, public health and health issues are an essential conversation with sexuality and eroticism of how do we keep ourselves safe. That also includes conversations in the Me Too movement. What does safety mean for people? Some people feel comfortable to take certain risks while others don't. And I love that question got brought up, because for me, being able to educate folks on sexuality that is inclusive of all identities is how we address those health concerns.
Yeah, be conscious of what you're dealing with.
Yeah. I'm actually, after this radio show, I'm heading down to Salinas to give a sex ed workshop to a group of 15 and 16-year-olds. Yeah, part of that conversation includes, we're talking about sexuality on a spectrum, that it's not just one type of sex that you can have. I like to encourage them to recognize that you can feel eroticism just by cuddling, just by kissing, by holding each other, and it doesn't always have to be risky behavior that makes us feel good.
Yeah, you're more gentle sexuality.
Mm-hmm. I'd say intimacy depends on trust. And that sometimes when people are pursuing the adventure or the taboo of eroticism, that's the reason, because maybe they have issues around trust and they're trying to push themselves into some new boundary breaking experiences.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the reasons I'm so proud of the show is because we do give, over a full evening, the chance to really reflect and ask the question for yourself. If you're in the audience, we'll never give you your answer, but there's a gorgeous array of possibilities to think about. And I think that it's the thinking about things and the having them as a mirror to reflect that gives us a chance to create conversation. And I think that one of the things that I'm so excited about in terms of the present and the future of sex is that we're talking about things where there was the old rule of silence in the past.
We have another caller, Mrs. Vander.
We have a caller, Anne Marie in Watsonville. Hi, Anne Marie. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. I just wanted to thank the person speaking. Is her name Jamie? I'm sorry, I didn't catch it.
Jamie Joy.
You know, mm-hmm. J- Jamie Joy, I have to tell you, I am so impressed with your ability to so lovingly articulate a subject that almost everybody I've ever met in my life cannot talk about. One of the sad things about being human is we're so judgmental. We need to feel that we're better than. I would never do that. Put labels on people and put them on boxes,
right,
tape them up. You are able to explain things. I love the way you said there is a me in the we. And when you explained why you use the word queer, we're always being bombarded with, oh, you have offended me. Oh, that's so racist. That's so sexist. That's so this, that's so that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you are just presenting things in such a cognitive way. I am feeling like I'm really getting an education. And here I am, a very strict conservative. But yet I was raised in San Francisco, grew up in the Castro. You know,
wow.
I was exposed to everything. And I just want to thank you. I wish I could have recorded everything you said. Thank you so much.
Wow. Thank you for calling in. Is this not recorded?
It is. It is.
There's plenty of ways to hear the show. KSCO has a website and an app that you can download and play back the shows.
Or you go to drfutureshow.com and we have the show.
We're gonna have the show recorded?
Yeah, we post the archives on our website.
I encourage you to listen to it again and see what comes up for you. And I appreciate you sharing. I do education around the community all the time. I just did a welcoming gender diversity event at the Calvary Episcopal Church in downtown Santa Cruz. Reaching people of all kinds on this topic is really important. So thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Anne-Marie.
Yeah. So you do education of all kinds, huh?
I do. So I mentioned that I'm a certified sex educator and I usually work with youth, but I do all ages. Also at Pure Pleasure downtown, but mostly my favorite thing to educate on is gender diversity. I'm looking at the ways that our society is going through kind of a gender revolution right now, which I think merges with the erotic frontier in a lot of ways. And just a couple months ago, California legalized a third gender to have male and female and then also non-binary on documents. So we're undergoing change rapidly and it's exciting for people and they also want to learn a lot. And I have become the token person to go around town and educate people on what it means to welcome gender diversity into their lives. I come at it from an angle that this issue actually affects all of us. And that's kind of what I was saying with the Me Too movement also, is that everyone is a part of this conversation. Yeah.
Do you find that many people who might have considered themselves binary actually might have some other diversity modes that they haven't discovered within themselves? Is that normal?
It's funny that you asked that, because at the end of the presentation on Saturday, a woman stood up and was like, maybe I'm not just one or the other. Maybe I have a little bit of both in me. And I only realized this until now, and she was maybe 75. and we see people at all ages having realizations about themselves and their identity and looking back in their lives and seeing the ways that they've been told how to dress, how to talk, who to love, how to engage sexually. I think people are at their limits with that and they want to self-determine.
Well, that is what they've been exposed to, and then what they actually feel can be different, huh?
Yeah, and it can change over the course of our lives. And part of doing a variety show is that, for What Is Erotic, is that our performers get to self-determine their piece. And we are only there to support and uplift their vision and then give them a platform to perform it to the public.
Now, you say you're working with kids that are teenagers, like 15, 16?
Yeah.
We're out of time already. I can't believe it. I just wanted to ask, are you excited about the next generation?
I am. The youth that I'm working with are the smartest and the most confident and powerful. And I encourage you all to uplift young people's voices whenever you can.
All right, folks. Well, What Is Erotic is coming up this weekend and Valentine's Day and the following weekend. You can get all the details at whatiserotic.com. Anything else?
Yeah.
No, thank you so very much.
Thank you for having us.
I hope you come out and see the show.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Jamie.
Bye-bye.
For making such a great show today. Thank you.
All right, folks. That's it for another week here on the Dr. Future Show on KSEO Santa Cruz. Thanks for listening.